You're listening to audio from Calvary Gravenhurst in Muskoka, Ontario. For more resources or to connect with someone in the church, please visit calvarygravenhurst.com.
Okay, on the way to Matthew 18, I'm going to have to hit the ground running this morning, so can you listen fast? Okay, a couple of things I wanted to mention. The first is that Jesus tells us there's going to come an actual moment in time. Now, this is for real, okay? He wasn't using a metaphor or poetry. He's telling us, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, who cannot lie, is telling us, friends, this is going to happen, okay? So there's going to be an actual moment in history when he will say to us, and you can insert your name here, okay? To me, he would say, Jay, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was in prison. On and on and on it goes, but he even tells us ahead of time how we're going to respond to him. We're going to say something like, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't remember ever doing anything like that for you. To which he will say, I tell you the truth. Whatever you have done for one of the least of these, you actually, for real, did that for me. Amen, amen, amen. Not poetry, not a metaphor. He's saying this is reality, and all of heaven sees this as the truth. Amen? Right to the throne of my Father, the Lord would say, this is recognized as the truth. Whether you feel like it's true or not, doesn't matter. The Lord says, this is reality. So Lord, would you join me in just saying, Lord Jesus, shake me with the truth today. That's a really good prayer to be praying all the time, guys, especially in the world that we're living in right now. Lord, shake me with the truth. You are the truth. And by the way, I'm going to try really hard not to go down a whole bunch of rabbit trails today, but I have to mention this. Who determines who justice is, what justice is, not who? Who determines ultimately? Pick any topic, any of the hot button topics. There is one judge. Scripture do teach us, yes, we who have been born of the Spirit of God, ultimately we're going to judge angels, but the Lord is the one who is even the one who's allowed to define justice. Amen? Could lose some friends here. Please, let's stop following the world, trying to catch up and show them how virtuous we are. Probably lost some friends there. I hope I gained some, though. You know, the Lord is the one we need to look to for everything, but especially right and wrong, what is just, what isn't. Let's get back to the message, Jay. Okay. So, whatever you've done for one of the least of these, Jesus said, you did that for me. And for our purposes this morning, the least of these, I know this is not a complete definition, but this will do for what we're talking about today. The least of these means someone who can't pay me back, yeah? So someone who has no power to do anything for me, right? Like a child, for instance. Children qualify as being among the least of these. Can't do anything for you, okay? Well, and by the way, does that sound like worship to anybody else? Whatever you've done for one of the least of these, you did that for me, yeah. A life of worship outside the walls of this beautiful church building, right? You did that for me, Jesus says. Well, Matthew 18 is one of many passages in the Gospels where Jesus is specifically talking about children. And you find this, if you haven't noticed before, you will now, because I'm bringing it to your attention. Next time you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, just how frequently Jesus emphasizes children. And it's because they figure so prominently in the heart of the Father. Yeah? That's the truth. Children are up here in God's economy. No, they can't do anything for you. No, they can't pay you back. But in God's economy, children are way up here. So anyway, Matthew 18 is another one of those passages. Jesus is specifically talking about kids. And you'll remember, there's multiple times. It's not just the one time in the Gospels when parents brought their children to Jesus to have him lay hands on them and bless them. Do you remember some of these instances? The most famous time is actually the following chapter, in Matthew 19, where the disciples rebuke the parents. Remember that? And they're saying, you know, get these kids out of here. This is an important man, right? And then Jesus rebukes his disciples. He says, fellas, you know, guys, at this particular juncture, you are not representing me well. You do not have my heart. Or my Father's heart. And then what does he say? Many of you could quote it word for word. He says, let the little children come to me, forbid them not. Why? Well, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are just like these little kids, Jesus says. And then to the adults, he says, you adults cannot even enter my kingdom. You cannot even get in, says Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, unless you personally humble yourself and become like a little child in your heart. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Matthew 18 is another one of those passages where Jesus has a child. He takes a child out of a group of people to illustrate a point. He's giving a teaching, and in Mark's account of the same event, Jesus has this child in his arms at this point. But I want you specifically to look at verse 5 and see if this rings a bell, because, friends, especially in the original language, like, remember, it was actually Matthew 25 where Jesus says, whatever you have done for one of the least of these, you really, truly did that for me. For real. You did that for me. And he's holding this child in his arms. Friends, most of the words are so similar, especially in the Greek. When Jesus is holding this child and he says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name, literally, actually, for real, welcomes me. Amen, amen, amen. I love that. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? Okay, yeah, in this church I know. D.L. Moody was just a great brother in the Lord, okay? He was a man of God who lived in the 1800s. He died in 1899, so he's in heaven, and we will meet him there, and I love that. This is the truth. We will actually spend time with D.L. Moody, and I love this. But the reason that I'm mentioning him is because I want you to consider the fact that this one man, during the 1800s, he personally led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let that percolate. One man did that. Most of us would agree, that's a fairly fruitful life right there. Before the internet. Fun fact, a lot of people will shut off when they hear a number like this because they won't believe it. Can I encourage you, please believe it? Even non-Christian, secular historians will say it was close to 1 million people who would have testified that they had some kind of conversion experience under the ministry of D.L. Moody. Hundreds of thousands, at least, okay? Please don't shut off after that, because that's the truth, okay? One man did that. And by the way, Lord, shake me with the truth, because this is reality, friends. Not only D.L. Moody, but we will also meet in heaven those thousands and thousands and thousands of people who came to faith in Jesus through his ministry. Isn't that neat? That's John 15 fruitful, friends. It's supernatural. There's no other way around it. It's not just that he was a good communicator. John 15 is the vine and the branches. Do you remember that? Jesus said, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is to my Father's glory, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I can't think of a better example of the fulfillment of that passage of what Jesus said than the life of D.L. Moody. And yet, as an old man, I want you to get this, before Jesus took him home, D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Let me try this side over here. If I could relive my life... Okay, so is a man who's led thousands and thousands and thousands to Jesus, and he says, if I could do it again, I would devote my entire ministry, 100%, to reaching children for God. Wow. See, he had seen over and over again. He's not negating any of the amazing things that God did through his life, not at all. But he's saying, had I focused 100% on the kids, it would have been even better, because he had seen over and over and over again the incredible impact that it has on families and on communities, ultimately on nations. And that is not an exaggeration when children come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Really wise man years ago said this to me, and you may have heard this lots of times. This was brand new to me. I'd never heard it before. He said, Jay, when a child is born again, God does not give that child a junior Holy Spirit. I love that. A lot of implications to that statement. It's the truth. But to me, the main point is, when a child is born again, friends, they really are. Amen, amen, amen. So all that to say, it is a joy to be with you today to represent the Ministry of Compassion. Can I rewind? I hope that primarily I'm here to represent the Lord and his heart, but I also get to put in a few words for some of my friends who work for Compassion. I'm not an employee of Compassion, so I can say whatever I want. In my opinion, they are doing what D.L. Moody said he wished he would have done. Yeah? I'm talking about in the field, wherever they minister around the planet, these people are pouring their lives out 100% for these children. But friends, when you see what the Lord is doing through this ministry in the field, it is absolutely stunning. It is breathtaking. And so in our remaining time this morning, I want to share with you a little bit about that. Of all the things that I could tell you about Compassion's ministry and their work that they do, there are two distinctives that I think, it's fair to say, that have impacted me personally the most and my family, and that I think I should share this morning. The first is by far the most important thing that I can tell you about them, and that is their absolute commitment to evangelism and discipleship, okay? To me, that's their number one calling from the Lord. Yes, they are ministering to the physical needs of children in desperate poverty, especially now, especially since the beginning, even at the beginning of the pandemic, things really pivoted. But their number one calling from the Lord continues to be evangelism and discipleship. Just to put this in perspective, I sure hope you saw the pictures of the children waiting to be sponsored at the back of the sanctuary on the tables back there right now. Purely based on statistics, okay? So just based on the numbers of what's been happening through this ministry right up to this moment, right now, I can tell you with absolute confidence that the vast, vast majority of those kids whose pictures are on those tables that I'm looking at right now, once they are sponsored, friends, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yeah. This is missions. This is missions. Think of the implications of what I just said. Again, Lord, shake me with the truth. Shake me with what's real. Because the truth is, I love the fact that Alyssa got hooked up with the Zoom call with the child that is Clyde, that the church is sponsoring. That's beautiful. They did the same for us. My wife Sandy and myself, they hooked us up on a Zoom call with one of our sponsored kids, and it was wonderful. But I want you to just to get this: even if you're not able to meet any of these kids on a Zoom call, or not meet them in person, please, Lord, shake me with reality right now. Friends, at least the vast majority of those children, we will actually meet them in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was it. That was the big thing I wanted to share, so you can go. See ya. The second distinctive, as Alyssa mentioned, I was a senior pastor for 9 years, so I get kind of jazzed about this one. You may not, and that's okay. We're still friends. But please hang on. Hear me out, because it's their commitment to the local church. That is also part of their calling from the Lord. And that might not sound very exciting to you, but just hang on. Wait till I explain what I'm talking about. First of all, in the field, around the world, Compassion only works in and out of and through the local church. It's a very specific calling. I think you would agree. But the way that I usually describe this to people is just try to imagine with me a struggling pastor in a third world nation or a developing nation, and he's got hopes and dreams for his community. He wants to see God move powerfully. He wants to see so many people come to faith in Jesus, the same as you do here in Gravenhurst. But in his case, maybe he can barely provide for his own family. See? I'm not going to unpack that, but you can imagine some of the implications of that in terms of every resource that he has and his own energy, right? Well, I'm going to shrink a long story, but that pastor partners with Compassion. Within a few short years, his church is now 3 times the size that it was. Have you ever heard of anything like this? I still have trouble, you know, having been a pastor, I still have trouble getting my head around this at all. And so I've checked with some leaders at Compassion just to confirm, more than once, just to confirm, is this really true? I want to be sure that I'm, you know, being accurate in what I'm sharing. And I've been told multiple times, Jay, that's average. In some cases, it's much more than that. Within 3 to 4 years, that pastor's church is 3 times the size that it was before he partnered with Compassion. But friends, I didn't even tell you what is by far the most important part of this. And that's that we're talking about conversion growth. Are you with me? This has nothing to do with people moving in from another town or people coming from another church, as great as that may be. I'm not criticizing anything like that. No, this is people getting saved. This is people being born of the Spirit, born from above. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. See, what's happening is most of the children are coming to know the Lord. And then so many times after that, and I don't want to give a false impression, okay? Not always. But so many times after that, the rest of the family follows. Isn't the Lord amazing? Yeah. I have to tell you something that happened to Sandy and me. My wife, Sandy, who's here today. Please talk to her afterwards. She's so much nicer than me. True story. I married way up. But we've been able to travel a number of times to visit some of our sponsored children. We've been sent, just to clarify, okay? But on this last trip, we went to the Dominican Republic to visit this great little guy named Jordani, whom we had been sponsoring for some time. And we spent hours with him at the church where everything was going on, because that's how they do it. I'm trying to, for the sake of time, I can only give you tiny little points, but all the programs that were happening, the training, job training for the older ones, but Bible study, discipleship things, there was even supplemental food things, like feeding things going on that were necessary. Play is a much bigger deal than I would have even realized, because our kids are used to it, right, in Canada. But after spending hours with him at the church, we got to walk with him and with a translator and a photographer and a videographer, and I'm not sure if there's anyone else, I don't remember, but those people at least, we walked back to Jordani's home with him, where we were invited by his family right into his home, and we met his sisters and his mommy, and what's really wonderful, his dad. This is a one-room home. The sleeping area is separated by a curtain. Some of you will understand probably better than myself about the macho culture in a lot of Latin American countries. I'll just say we were really happy when we walked in the door and here's dad, because it's not funny and it's not cool. If you hear the word macho, in this case, it's connected with gangs. And it was only after we got back to Canada that we found out this was probably one of the worst parts of Dominican for all kinds of unspeakable evil, some of it related to gangs. And one of the implications of the tough guy macho culture is that when children come along, it's really common for the tough guy macho dad to just leave. So you have huge numbers of single moms, and it's heartbreaking. So we were just, oh, wow, dad's here. Thank you, Lord. This is really neat. I have to get to the end of the story. The Lord gave Sandy and myself opportunity to pray with Jordani's mommy and daddy for them to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the Lord good? I just have to clarify something, though, so you don't get a wrong impression. This was not leading someone to Jesus, okay? This was not Jay leading someone to the Lord, not even close. In fact, from my heart, the biggest burden that I had, I mean, they just honored us. They just invited us into their home. My biggest concern was that they'd feel any kind of pressure. I got this across to them through the translator. Like, I didn't want them to feel any pressure for anything. We were just delighted to be there. And I actually even said to them, look, we love you guys. No matter what, it's okay. And through the translator, they kept saying, no, we want Jesus now. You know, so I knelt down on their floor and we held hands. And I did lead them through some scriptures. I didn't believe what was happening, O me of great faith. And so I led them through some scriptures about believing and confession and repentance and receiving. And then we did a very awkward repeat after me through the translator prayer. How many know the Lord doesn't seem to mind when I'm feeling awkward? Fast forward, friends, to the Zoom call. The several years later now, and we've been in touch with letters and things like that. I'm pathetic, full disclosure, but Sandy's good at letters, okay? But the Zoom call, these people are passionate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God good? One of their biggest prayer requests was that we would join them, and we did, in praying, and we are, in praying for some other people that they are sharing the Lord with, because they want them to come to know the Lord. Isn't God amazing? Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Back to the hypothetical pastor, the third world pastor whose church is exploding with new believers. It's three times the size that it was. by the way, that story repeats itself over and over and over again. So it's not hypothetical, but he's held in really high esteem now in his community. Why? Well, because everybody knows you go over there, those people, they love you over there. And when people have a need, they know that's their best chance of having people genuinely care without an agenda. But the other side of it is, it's also become, the church has also become the go-to place for all of these adults who are coming to someone in the church or coming to a pastor and saying, you know, I don't know what's happened to my child who's in your program, but they've changed. In a really good way, they've changed. And I don't know what it is that you have, but I know I desperately need it too. What must I do to be saved? Cool? Yeah, it is. It's so good. Well, they've sent along a video that we're going to show at this time if we can. Riley, it's about 2.5 hours long. So I hope you're really comfy. It's about 3.5 minutes, okay, after which we will continue. So good. So good. By the way, Richmond is now pastoring the church through which he was sponsored when he was this high, through a 15-year-old teenage girl. Isn't God amazing? I don't know if you caught it at the beginning, and there are little ones here, so I'm going to be extremely careful the way I word this, but Richmond lost his father violently when he was a little boy. Look what the Lord has done. He's also heading up a pastor's network. He teaches pastors. He trains pastors right across sub-Saharan Africa. Again, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 kids, feed one. And that's a good quote. I don't know if you notice what she's doing right there. She's really clever. She's addressing human nature. She's addressing me for sure. I really, really relate to this, and you don't need to raise your hand, but I'm probably not the only one. There's this tendency sometimes to be so overwhelmed with the size of a need. You with me? It can just seem so huge. I mean, before the pandemic, there were statistics flying around, which were true, about how many thousand children perished yesterday. Okay? Not last year, no, in the last 24 hours. How many thousands from malnutrition, preventable diseases? You hear these things and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm just one person, you know. This is so immense. Friends, I don't even focus on the statistics anymore. It's not that they're not true. They are, but I don't. And I'll tell you why. It's because I don't want to get frozen in place. See, equally as true as the very sobering statistics is that in this sanctuary, right now, at this very moment, I know that many of you are being instrumental in seeing lives completely transformed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are, right now you are. And if I knew nothing else about you, I would know that's true because you're already sponsoring kids. So from the Lord's point of view, I believe a big part of the reason I'm here today is to say thank you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And to remind you that you are having an enormous impact. You really are. It's not just a picture on the fridge, okay? Lives truly are being transformed, probably for eternity, if it's through this ministry of compassion. So well done. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I do need to mention it's $47 a month now to sponsor a child. That's an increase of $6 over, I think they increased it in the last year, for sure in the last 18 months. That's an increase of $6 in the sponsorship. I just want to tell you, they've been putting it off and putting it off. That's the first time they've increased it in 12 years. How many know some things are actually more expensive than they were 12 years ago? But that works out. Even so, even that 47, that works out to $1.56 per day, right? It's actually much less than that if you pay income tax. Anybody here pay income tax? I'll get to that in a moment. But for our purposes, $1.56, here's a child who has very little hope for any kind of future, like Richmond was, like our Jordani was, okay? Friends, that same child is sponsored. They're receiving the care that they need. They're learning about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God is going in, and it is not returning void. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I know this is out of context, but I also believe many times the Lord takes a scripture and applies it right to you, yeah? Well, this one is one of my favorites. It's Jeremiah 29:11, and some of you will know that one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. We have a good Father. That's foundational to the gospel, friends. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And Sandy and I are seeing that fulfilled in the lives of our sponsored kids. $1.56 a day. A hope and a future. What's a medium double-double from Tim's? Tim Hortons? $1.80? Yeah, good. That's what it is most parts of the country, so good. I was hoping it wasn't a lot more than that. But think about that. You know, $1.56 for today to sponsor this child, see their life completely transformed. $1.80 for my coffee. Actually, Starbucks is infinitely more, you know, but worth it. It's my opinion. But here's a thought. If you regularly buy your coffee from Starbucks, you should consider sponsoring a village. Okay, I have to hurry on with this. So several years ago, Sandy and I went to get our taxes done, and we had been sponsoring kids for years and years and years. I don't know how long, a really long time. I had never even thought to ask this before. It never even occurred to me. But I finally clued in, and I finally asked. And at the time, we were sponsoring four children. There's a reason I'm telling you that. You're not supposed to do that. Left hand's not supposed to let the right hand know things like that, okay? But there's, I don't have time to unpack why I'm telling you, but it's important that I do. Anyway, I was just grateful we could, yeah? Lord, thank you, we can do this. This is wonderful. I never even thought to ask. So I'm fast-forwarding to today's costs. But as it turns out, and I never knew this for years and years and years, that I hadn't actually been spending $1.56 per day for each of these children that we sponsored. It was more like 80 cents. 80 cents, and I never knew. See, I pay 51% of the sponsorship. I get 49% back as a tax refund. To say it another way, for what I thought I'd been spending all these years for each of these kids we sponsored, I could have been, for every one of them, I could have been sponsoring two. There's a word from the Lord for somebody right there. It was for me. I blurted it out right in the accountant's office. I said, oh my goodness, we got to sponsor some more kids. And so we did. We got several more. And one of those several more happened to be a beautiful little boy from the Dominican Republic named Jordani. And now not just Jordani and his sisters, but his mommy and daddy have come to know Jesus. And yay, God. Yay, God. Sandy and I have four kids of our own. And they're older. Three of them are married already. I'm going to be a grandpa. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't know when, but I figure it's bound to happen eventually. Just making sure you're all still awake. Now, I've been telling that joke probably way too many years. Sandy and I actually have seven grandchildren. True story, three of them are here right now. My daughter Jen and son-in-law Phil are here along with their three kids. Hi, Chase. Thank you so much for bringing your family, Chase, and Ellie and Austin. Remember I said I'm a wealthy man? Yeah. The Lord's been so good to us. But, and I don't want to embarrass these guys specifically, so pretend I'm talking about the others, okay? But our kids, in these, you know, starting their own families, last time I checked, they were up to seven more children that they're sponsoring. Isn't that neat? And if you were to ask my kids, why do you do that? You know, why do you sponsor children? They'd answer the same way I would. They'd say, why would I not? Really? This is such a little thing, and yet it so represents the heart of my Lord and Savior. See, for us, this is a worship issue. It's a discipleship issue, even. Whatever you have done for one of the least of these, Jesus said, you actually, for real, did that for me. And all of heaven recognizes this is true. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name, says Jesus, you just welcomed me. For real, says the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. It was pointed out to me, I'm almost done, really, that there are more than 2,000 references in the Old and New Testament to God's heart for the poor and justice issues. Did you know that? It's true. There are more than 2,000 references in here. God's heart for the poor and justice issues. And the reason that I mention that is because in normal times, whatever that is anymore, but historically over the years, I travel a lot. I've been on airplanes an awful lot. And I'm so grateful. I'm not whining. I'm astonished at the doors that the Lord has opened for me. I get to meet so many amazing people right across Canada, all kinds of events and concert tours, a lot of church services. And I share about Compassion's ministry pretty much as I can get away with it. And I've had so many people come up to me after an event. This is why I'm mentioning this at all. And they'll say, Jay, I need to pray about this. You know, I need to pray about sponsoring a child. And I want you to know generally, my response to that is, great, you know, that's wonderful, because most things I can think of, it's a really good idea to take it to the Lord, yeah, right? Unless I'm being goofy. I think that's the theological term. Some of you know where I'm going, I think. Can I just preface this part by saying, there are probably a lot of really good reasons to pray about this. There probably are. And for Sandy and me, it's, you know, how many children do you want us to be sponsoring this year, Lord Jesus? At this point in our life, you know, what's that look like from your heart? But if by that, you know, I need to pray about sponsoring a child. If by that I'm saying, I need to ask God if it's His will for me to take a tiny part of my resources, really tiny, to help minister to the poor and tell them about Jesus. What do I think He's going to say? I mean, that's borderline goofy. I'm just. By the way, if that is pushing a button, I apologize. I am not immune to goofy. Okay, lots of goofy comes from this guy, and Sandy's back there going, "Amen." Don't be condemned. Okay, but honestly, especially when the Lord's already given His opinion more than 2,000 times, right? And I would add to that, and this is just me, but I can't remember ever in my entire life, not even once, crying out to God and saying, oh, Lord, Father, I must have your heart regarding this matter. Is it your will for me to buy this cup of coffee as I go through the drive-thru today? Not trying to be mean, friends. Really, I want to bless you, especially this church. I want to bless you folks. Just trying to give perspective. You can tell I really like coffee. For me, even from Tim Hortons, forget Starbucks, even from Tim Hortons, that cup of coffee costs considerably more than it would cost for me to sponsor two children for today. Isn't that wild? And yet it would never enter my mind or my heart that, oh, I really need to pray about that coffee. Anyway, I'm just saying, if you don't sponsor kids yet, that's okay. Bless you. But you can take care of that today. Please don't run off after the service. Go to the tables and choose your child, and they'll sign you up. They've made it so easy. You don't need to have any money with you today. And not everybody can do this. That is okay. God bless you so much. If we're honest, an awful lot of us can. I remembered, two services in a row. This is a record. There's a guitar guy has some CDs back there. If anybody remembers what those are. But what they're for is, if you're able to start a sponsorship right away, would you just take a CD, and that's just to say thank you. It's also that they want to encourage us not to put it off. I think you can understand that, okay? So if you sponsor 10 kids, take 10 CDs. And I'm absolutely serious, and you would not be the first person to do that. If you already sponsor children, again, it would be extremely difficult to overstate the impact you're already having. It really is that big a deal. So well done. Bless you, bless you, bless you. But here's the challenge. Would you consider another one? Or more if you can, you know, but at least take home a kid you didn't come with today. Surprise your friends. Listen, you folks are wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share. God bless you. Hope to see you at the tables after the service.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon audio. For more resources or to connect with us, visit calvarygravenhurst.com.